Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis catches it down low. He's going to miss the bunny up close. Taps at it, and he gets it to go on the second try.
Bucks talk starts now.
Cleveland's going to come away with a 118-113 win in a whale of a game.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, you don't want to play the moral victory card, but there was a lot to like in this loss that the Bucks suffer at the hands of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They dropped to 2-1 on the season. It did look like this one may get out of hand at a couple of points late in the second quarter, early in the third quarter, but there was no quit in this team. And look, we mentioned the players the Bucks were without. It is only fair to point out the Cavaliers were down at least one starter and one super sub, sometimes starter, in Darius Garland and Max Strus. We didn't know if Darius or if D'Angelo Russell, there we go. It's been a day here. We didn't know if DeAndre Hunter was going to play until shortly before the game, but he did, making a season debut. And this Bucks team, you know, this is one of the things, there's no way to quantify this or prove this. It's more eye test related, but this really felt like a game the Bucks would lose pretty ugly last season, and not just last season, the last couple of seasons, especially once Cleveland ran that margin up to 18. It felt like, hey, we've seen this in the past, and these are games the Bucks end up losing by 20-plus points to this Cleveland Cavaliers team specifically. That was not the case tonight. You saw, once again, shades of that Timberwolves game a season ago where Bucks go to zone and it just seems to slow down their opponent. Doc Rivers, I thought it was interesting, pointed out after the game too, you know, we went to it, but our best zone defenders were not available tonight. That we really like Gary Trent Jr. playing zone next to Kevin Porter Jr. And Kyle Kuzma is just kind of a Swiss Army knife defensively for us. But this team is noticeably different. Obviously, the personnel have changed. The way this team plays, and I'm not going to say the way this team competes in the sense that they didn't compete last year, but the level of competitiveness that's in this group, I know it's three games. It seems pretty evident that this is a much, much different Bucks group out there. And now it makes Tuesday all the more interesting. You got a Knicks team that also lost tonight. They will also come into Milwaukee with a 2-1 record. And, you know, it's a Knicks team that dominated you a season ago. The Cavs dominated you. The Knicks dominated you. Cleveland had a couple of close games there, but a couple of ugly games against the Bucks last year. So I'm very curious to see not only who the Bucks will have available, but how that game looks Tuesday against the New York Knicks. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So, couple of moments in this game to touch on, but a couple of standout performances that we will dig into coming up after this. .118-113 final in Cleveland. Cavaliers hang on to beat the Bucks. Game Cleveland led by 18 at one point, and it felt like, okay, Bucks were competitive for the first half, but the wheels are starting to fall off here. They took a two-point lead into the second quarter, but trailed by 9 at halftime. And that's when in that second quarter, it really became painfully obvious how much you missed Cole Anthony, Kevin Porter Jr., and even I think Kyle Kuzma too, because you just need, in the form of Kuzma and Cole Anthony, those guys that are just going to push it and get to the basket, push the tempo, push the pace, and attack. And that's where Cole Anthony found a whole lot of success Friday night in Toronto to help swing things for the Bucks. Seen Kyle Kuzma do that in stretches as well. So it felt like things were starting to pile up against the Bucks. But then you go to zone, start to chip away, and Giannis was dominant throughout the course of this game. So, you know, I talked about it with Dave Kane after the game, and you heard Doc Rivers take the same question too, that I wouldn't assume any professional sports team is going to say, we lost the game, but, you know, in the moral victory card to play. But as Doc said, there was a lot to like from from this. Is it a moral victory? No, but like there's a lot of positives coming out of this, and I love the way our team fought and didn't lose hold of that rope. Giannis, though, you know, we've talked about it in each of the three games. I've mentioned it elsewhere, too, coming into the season. Let's keep that same energy that we bring for other players, and we keep the focus on these individual numbers and especially the narrative surrounding this Bucks team. It's still very early in the season with just three games here. But the narrative of this team isn't good. Giannis needs to look elsewhere and find a new team. His teammates aren't good enough. This is a Bucks team that's at best in the middle of the Eastern Conference, which we have all said is the lesser conference. Like that whole narrative that's being pushed, okay. If this team finishes in the top half and even among the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and if Giannis's numbers continue to be what they have been throughout the course of this season, then let's take his candidacy for MVP much more seriously this season. 40 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists tonight for Giannis, 2 steals, 2 blocks as well, and he did this in 33 minutes. It was another game where Giannis, what do you know, was incredibly efficient at 14 of 20 from the field in this one. 3 straight threes that Giannis has now hit. Look, I don't think any of us are saying we want to see Giannis really start to lean into taking threes, but I think there's a number you can live with, and you know he basically eliminated it from his shot diet a season ago. I think you can have it in moderation, but that's what he did tonight in 33 minutes, in 38 minutes against the Raptors. 31 points, 20 rebounds, and 7 assists on 11 of 14 shooting. So his least efficient night so far this season was opening night against the Washington Wizards, where Giannis still statistically had a very good game with 37 points, but was 16 of 26 from the field, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists. He scored 30 or more in each of the three games this season. It has been everything we envisioned when we said the way this team was built, it's going to be pretty Giannis heavy, and that's the pushback of, well, you got to lean on Giannis quite a bit. I think we all viewed it and said, well, who else would you want to lean on when you have the best player in the conference and arguably the best player in the league? Isn't that what you want to do? And surround him with shooters, and more importantly, as we've seen through these three games, surround him with more two-way players that give you the ability to play in different ways and play really a more modern style so far this season. That's what we've seen against a Raptors team that gets up and down the floor. You withstood it. You gave them some of their own medicine. You won that game. Against the Wizards team, you're supposed to beat? Yeah. They were dominating. And that offense by the Bucks was elite for 9 minutes with Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor doing not only what you should do beyond that against the Wizards. In their 14 possessions with Kevin Porter Jr. available, Bucks were scoring 1.7 points per possession, which, not to get too bogged down in the numbers, what you need to know is they were basically guaranteed to score every single time when you look at that number. If you're scoring either 2 or 3 every trip down the floor, in this case for the Bucks, just under 2 points, a pretty elite offense. So there's a lot to like that we've seen from this group so far, three games into the season. There's one more name that there's a ton to like about, and I think we all started to see that a season ago. We'll dig into the performance of Ryan Rollins coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.118-113 final in Cleveland. Cavaliers hang on to take down the Bucks tonight despite another big game from Giannis. 40 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. In the three games played so far this season, Giannis is averaging 36 points per game. He is averaging 16 rebounds and 7 assists, and basically a block and a steal each game. Three games does not a season make, I get that, but some eye-popping numbers once again to start the season for Giannis. He is one of, 4 players who are averaging, 5 players who are averaging 30 points a game and have played at least three games. Luka Doncic has played just two, and he's up to 46. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's had some monster games. He's averaging an even 40. Giannis is next then at 36. You got 33 from Steph Curry, whom the Bucks will see next week, Thursday, when the Warriors come to town. And Victor Wembanyama, I mean, talk about what Giannis has done. Wemby doing much of the same, averaging 33 points, 13 rebounds, 6 blocked shots that he's averaging here to start the season, and just 2 assists per game from Wemby. So Giannis's dominance continues. But the other story where we saw a massive step forward once again for this Bucks team came in the form of Ryan Rollins, who, you know, you look at what he did tonight when you saw those names that were out for this team and you knew, well, it's a lot that's on Ryan Rollins. You couldn't help but assume Mark Sears was going to be active for this game, and he was. We saw 8 minutes from Mark Sears. I think there's still a lot to like about Mark Sears, and certainly there's something in there that you can continue to hone and develop in Oshkosh and at stints that he'll get here with the Bucks. But I do think Mark Sears looked a little overwhelmed at times, which is, you know, not surprising in a spot like this against a team that won 64 games a season ago in the Cleveland Cavaliers. But Ryan Rollins, we knew a lot was going to be asked of in this game. To say he answered the bell is a massive understatement. He continues to really impress you the more that you see him. And you go back 2 years ago now when the Bucks acquired him and signed him on a two-way deal. There were a few voices that were saying, hey, there's something here. There's something here that I like in this guy. There's something to develop. And I think a lot of us were slow to come around on that and see it. You could not avoid it a season ago. And, you know, especially early in the season, we forget he just jumped off the page and had that breakout performance against the Toronto Raptors, then suffers a shoulder injury. And I wouldn't say he wasn't the same, but it took some time for him to be quote-unquote the same. Not until late in the season when Dame then goes down, and it was basically a, well, Ryan and KPJ, it's up to you guys now that we need something big from both of you. 14 points, 8 assists, 3 steals tonight from Rollins, 5 of 11 from the field. I think he continues to show this ability to just knife through traffic and defense and get to the lane, finish at the rim with ease. This fearlessness. And you've seen it a couple of times this season already. It's something that we saw in spurts last season that has only gotten better this year. We saw it in one very big spot tonight and a couple of times overall, and that's his ability to shield the ball and withstand contact against a bigger defender and still finish at the rim. So far this season, Ryan Rollins has been terrific, I would go as far as saying, for this group. Big game tonight. He's been solid. The defense was the biggest thing that you looked at and said, well, the way that this team is constructed, I think you would probably say Kevin Porter Jr. is who we're going to expect more from offensively to carry that load. And Ryan Rollins may be just our, I wouldn't say designated defender, but he's out there for his defense. He's your impactful defender. And now because of the sprained ankle by KPJ, you've had to ask Ryan Rollins to take on both, especially tonight with no Cole Anthony. And he's done it with flying colors. He is still your best point of attack defender. He led the league in deflections coming into tonight's game. He had 3 steals, more than 3 deflections. So that number is probably going to hold. And the more comfortable he gets, the more tendencies he gets down of opposing teams, and frankly, the more respect that he gets, which is only going to come from time served, basically, more time on the court, the more impactful this guy is going to be defensively. It is already a, I think, massive building block that you have. So, again, not to get into the moral victory discussion here, but you saw a lot of fight from this group, and you continue to see a pretty big step forward from Ryan Rollins, who you got on an incredible deal. And I was talking about it with another person earlier today before this game and said, you know, this is the guy. Like the Bucks this offseason, you look at the team-friendly deals that they got. This is the guy. Despite having, you know, Gary Trent under market value, Kevin Porter Jr. arguably under market value, all these names that the Bucks retained, A.J. Green right now, you know, that wasn't an offseason signing, but A.J. Green is a very team-friendly deal as well. Ryan Rollins is the guy that I think we are all going to look back at, and by all, I mean teams outside of Milwaukee, a year from now in the offseason and say, man, why didn't we go after that guy? He started the offseason as a restricted free agent. The Bucks had to renounce his rights in some cap gymnastics to free up enough money in, you know, that, what, 48-hour period where you wave and stretch Dame and you bring in Miles Turner. So you had to renounce his rights, and doing that makes him an unrestricted free agent. Anybody could have got him. I mean, anybody could have got him and signed him to an offer sheet even if he was a restricted free agent, but there's none of that waiting game and none of that wondering, like, well, what's the point? We're just going to drive up the price and the Bucks will retain him. Anybody could have gotten Ryan Rollins this offseason. He is the guy that I think teams are going to look at this offseason and say, man, for what he's developing offensively and for what he already brings defensively, for that price point, why didn't we make a run at Ryan Rollins? 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And by the way, we're all glad that nobody made a run at Ryan Rollins. Okay, another big one on Tuesday, and then another big one on Thursday. But the one on Tuesday is especially interesting because you get this little stretch where you get the two teams that everybody perceived to be the best two teams in the Eastern Conference. Back-to-back games for the Bucks. Tonight in Cleveland, Tuesday at home against the New York Knicks. We'll take a look at that matchup coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
.118-113 final. Cavaliers hang on to beat the Bucks tonight, despite 40 points from Giannis, as we just mentioned. Another big game, another big step forward from Ryan Rollins, who gave you 14 points. 8 assists as well from Rollins and 3 steals. Continues to be a force defensively. Your second leading scorer tonight was A.J. Green with 20 points. So this is now a third straight game where the Bucks' second leading scorer was somebody different. And I think the chances are pretty high that's going to be a fourth straight game Tuesday when the Knicks come to town, especially if maybe Kevin Porter Jr. will be available for that game. Cole Anthony missed this game tonight, not with an injury per se. It was an illness. Kevin Porter Jr. is out with a left ankle sprain. Same story for Kyle Kuzma. Bucks ruled out KPJ for the road trip basically immediately, and we heard from Doc Rivers after the opening night win over the Wizards that it wasn't good. So be very curious to see the injury report tomorrow, late tomorrow evening, and then throughout the day on Tuesday, for the status of all of those guys. If Cole Anthony's recovered from this illness and then the ankle injuries to Kuzma and Kevin Porter Jr., but A.J. Green with 20 points tonight, 6 of 9 shooting. Remember, A.J. didn't close the game against the Toronto Raptors. Torian Prince did. And Torian Prince played big minutes down the stretch once again tonight. That, you know, it comes back to the way this team is constructed. I know there was that re-signing, I think, was met with a lot of eye rolls from Bucks fans. And I talked about this on Locked On Bucks. Torian Prince is the kind of guy you need through the regular season. He is very good regular season depth. He has shown an ability to play alongside Giannis with his catch-and-shoot ability and how he continues to be a very efficient three-point shooter. The biggest knock on Torian Prince is, I mean, obviously there's not much in terms of playmaking and shot creation there, but that's not what you're asking from Torian Prince. It's really defensively. At this point, he's probably best served defensively as a small ball four, and last year you had to ask him to basically take on twos. It's a different group this year. You've got other guys. You can. Ryan Rollins has emerged as your number one defender. Saw Andre Jackson Jr. play 8 minutes tonight. We saw Jericho Sims play 8 minutes tonight. Like, you have more versatile defenders. That is not just, okay, Torian's got to take on the toughest assignment. I think that's going to make him even more valuable to the team this season. And I think, again, for all these guys, the caveat is it's a very, very small sample size. But I think Torian Prince has had a very good start to the season for this team. But now you get the Knicks. And here's where it gets interesting with Kyle Kuzma. You need some size on the perimeter. We just ran through Torian Prince and what you can realistically ask of him and expect from him defensively. You know, Cleveland had DeAndre Hunter make his return tonight, but they didn't have much else. They have size in the front court. They didn't have much else in terms of your big wings that you got to worry about. That's not going to be the case for the Knicks. Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Jordan Clarkson, not like a wing, but more size that you have to contend with on the perimeter. Josh Hart's another one of those names. So I'm not going to say you need, but you'd really like to have Kyle Kuzma for that matchup. The Knicks lost tonight, by the way, to the Miami Heat, despite 37 points from Jalen Brunson. And it is going to be interesting to see anything that's different up close and personal with this Knicks team. New coach, Mike Brown is in there, no more Tom Thibodeau. And one of the bigger changes is Mike Brown wants to bring in a movement offense. How does that fit with a guy that likes to dribble the ball a lot in Jalen Brunson? We're going to get our first taste of it on Tuesday. But it is a Knicks team that many have picked to win the Eastern Conference or at least finish second. So it's early, but it's another good litmus test for this Bucks team. And hopefully, even if it's not everybody, hopefully you start to get most of those pieces back. We will wrap things up, get you set for Tuesday night. A three-game homestand for the Bucks, by the way. We'll preview that and wrap up the show after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.118-113 final. The Bucks come up short tonight in Cleveland, so they taste defeat for the first time this season. Despite another big game from Giannis, and that is putting it mildly, 40 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists for Giannis. So another near triple-double, 20 points from A.J. Green, another big game from Ryan Rollins. And we did not mention Miles Turner in double figures for the first time in the Bucks uniform. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocked shots for Miles Turner. And you really saw the Twin Towers approach is nothing new for the Bucks, having had Brook Lopez for the previous 7 seasons alongside Giannis, but a little more versatility. And Miles Turner, you know, had a terrific series in the semifinals last year against these Cavs. I would go as far as say he dominated the matchup against Jared Allen. So there's certainly a level of comfort there, but Miles Turner just allows you to play a little differently defensively. And I think, you know, we also heard from a handful of maybe disgruntled Pacers fans and members of the media that cover the team, well, he's not a very good rebounder, so get used to that. I don't know if you just look at the rebounding numbers and come to that conclusion. You know, if you did the same with Brook Lopez, you'd say he's not a good rebounder. But as you know, we've gone over time and time again, the Bucks were a better rebounding team with Brook Lopez on the floor than with Brook Lopez off the floor. And that was the same for the Pacers, but taking it a step further, I would say he's been even better in terms of a help defender, an individual defender, and a rebounder than I anticipated coming into this season. And he's going to be tested on Tuesday against the New York Knicks. So you're not going to see Mitchell Robinson, but you are going to have to contend with Karl-Anthony Towns. OG Anunoby is going to play some at the four, so there's going to be some interesting matchups there with Giannis and Miles Turner against the front court of Anunoby and Towns. Gersan Yabusele is certainly a versatile big man that's going to give some challenges. So this is going to be a nice little test for the Bucks Tuesday, and as I mentioned, it's part of this little mini gauntlet that they've had. It started with the Raptors on Friday, home opener for Toronto, a team that has much loftier expectations this season. A lot of people think the Raptors may be better than the Bucks in terms of their record and standings this year. So you had that. You went into a home opener for the Cavs, and now you have the next two games, home against the Knicks, home against the Warriors, who have gotten off to a very good start so far this season. And you wrap up that homestand next Saturday against the Sacramento Kings. So we're not in the business of moral victories, but a lot of positive takeaways from this defeat tonight at the hands of the Cavaliers. Tuesday night's our next game, 7 o'clock tip at home against the New York Knicks. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.